I want to cherish that old rugged cross. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's just lift our hands and thank God for, thank Him for the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the cross. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God, you're worthy of all the praise, of all the glory. We worship your name. We give you praise and honor. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, it's great to be here on a Wednesday night. And we do have everyone scattered out throughout the building. And there are some that are sick, and there are others that are not here due to weather and fog and things like that. So it's just part of this time of year. Amen. But we got to go through this in order to enjoy a beautiful spring and a gorgeous fall, and summer's not too bad either. So, amen, we're thankful for that. Praise the Lord. I do want to mention just briefly, and I may mention it again this weekend, that we are going to be transitioning our Facebook Live broadcast. We are going to be transitioning that, and we are wanting to bring it up to another level, let's say. And so we are looking at purchasing some additional equipment, cameras, equipment to do that on the level that we want to be at. And we may, so we are going to be pausing any kind of live streaming for now. And I know that affects some shut-ins and all that. So if you know anybody that does like to tune in because they're not able to make it to church, let us know, and we want to put them on the DVD list, and we will at least get them a DVD. And so we have a department we're forming, a ministry we're forming, and there's going to be two purposes of what we do share online for our services. The first purpose, I think, is it's going to be evangelism. We want people to be exposed to our church, to the best parts of our service. And so probably what we are going to do is we're not going to broadcast our full services, but we will have someone that will take clips of the video, and we'll put that all together and make a real nice presentation, and we'll share that on Facebook. And we'll all, you know, also have our sermons online through the website, the audio. And then for people that are our members, if they do want to watch the full service, we will get the DVD for them. So we want to put our best presentation forward. And also, we've kind of gone back and forth with this. I want everybody in services to be completely comfortable to worship the Lord and to pray and not think, well, is somebody watching me on Facebook and all of that? So, you know, you can see both sides of that. But I just wanted to give you an update. So we're pausing our Facebook Live, so don't wonder, well, why are we pausing it? And we're working to make what we share online even better, more professional, with better cameras and quality presentation. So if you know anybody that will be missing out because of that, let us know, and we want to put them on the DVD list so that they can still stay connected with Harvest. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And we're going to have several lessons on the subject tonight that we're looking at. I felt that the Lord directed me a few weeks ago in this area, and we're going to try to follow the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the family of God, and it's good to see everyone here tonight. I pray that this year we could go further in the Lord than we've ever gone. Sometimes, though, before we can go to the next height, we've got to go a little lower. We've got to go a little lower. If you're going to build a tall skyscraper, you've got to first build a foundation. Amen. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Whoever collected the Psalms of David to have them in the Bible for us, and many Bible scholars think that it was Ezra, possibly, but whoever collected the Psalms of David did well to put this psalm first. As a preface to all the other psalms, the first psalm outlines the different character and the condition of godly people versus wicked people. And there is a difference, amen? So we see the division of saints and sinners. We see the division between the righteous and the unrighteous, the children of God and the children of the wicked one. And this ancient struggle between sin and the grace of God is brought into focus as we see that we all have a choice in life. We all have a choice. Simply stated tonight, are we going to live a godly life or an ungodly one? Will we live a godly life or an ungodly one? The psalmist begins with a description of a godly man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The character of good men and women is given here by who we choose to walk with, the rules we choose to live by what guides our conversations, by whose advice we receive, and a godly man and a godly woman do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't follow their advice. We don't listen to their advice. We realize they're not led by the same principles and character as those who are godly. We don't stand in the way of sinners. Their way is not our way. We don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't imitate them. We don't associate with them. We don't glorify their lifestyle. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not a witness. It doesn't mean that we're not a friend. It does not mean that we don't reach out to them, but we realize there's a difference between us and them. And we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, there are those who take pleasure in their ungodliness. They take pleasure in their ungodliness. They are proud to be against everything that God is for. They are openly scornful and scornful about the things of God. Some even who perhaps have a seared conscience. And the godly don't sit in that place. We don't sit in the seat of the scornful. The psalmist goes on to say that the delight of the godly is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. We are to submit to the word of God in our life. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his word. We need to know his word. We need to read his word. We need to study his word, to meditate on it. God's word is the most valuable resource in our lives because it keeps us. It keeps us. And it should bring pleasure to us to know the word of God because we realize the life that is in it for us. Verse 3 then tells us, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And this is a wonderful picture of the favor of God upon those who delight in his word. A tree planted by rivers of water. A tree that's planted, it's steadfast, it's anchored, it's unchanging, it's planted there, it's rooted and ground. Rooted and grounded. It's on this subject that we're going to be teaching for the next few weeks. Rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. Is there anybody here tonight that you want to be blessed of God? You want the blessings of God to be poured out upon your life. You want the things that you do to prosper, and you want to bear fruit. You want to be valuable in the kingdom of God. If so, then we must be rooted and grounded. Praise the Lord. Why is this important in this season? Well, we live in a time of turmoil. It is a time of turmoil in our world. There's transition in our world. There's political turmoil, social crisis. Going back to political turmoil, if any of you got a chance to listen or watch the State of the Union address last night, how interesting it is to see one side, this was the greatest speech that there has ever been. And I did enjoy it, and there was, you know, this was just the greatest. We've never heard it said like this. And then the other side, can you believe it? And, you know, I want to tell you, there's political turmoil in the world. There's economic uncertainty. There's spiritual warfare. I tell you, families are going through it. Marriages are under pressure. Young people are fighting battles greater than any other generation of young people have ever faced. You know, I don't consider myself an old person. I still think I'm kind of young, you know. But I want to tell you the things our kids are facing today, we can't even understand it. It's another level. Sin is doing its best to creep into the lives of godly men and women. Satan is trying his best to destroy what God wants to do. I tell you, there is a battle going on. Things are being shaken. Things are being shaken. Read in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The writer of Hebrews references this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. One more time, he says, I will shake the earth and the heavens, so that what can't be shaken may remain. Praise the Lord. I tell you, our only hope is that we would be part of a kingdom that cannot be moved, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that we would have a foundation that is steadfast, that we would be rooted and grounded in something that is solid and stable, something that is strong and steady, something that is secure. We got to be rooted and we got to be grounded. If it seems like things are being shaken in your world, come on, if it seems like there's turmoil, like there's pressure upon your life, if it seems like things are unsettled and it's just not maybe as easy as it used to be, I tell you, if it's not a smooth ride, it could be that there's a shaking going on in your world and things are being shaken around you and things are being shaken in your own life. It could be that God actually is allowing that shaking to come because He wants to determine what can be shaken and what will not be shaken. He wants to see what can be shaken and what will remain. I tell you, it'll be revealed who's rooted in the things of God. It will be revealed who is rooted in the things of God, who's really grounded in truth. Oh, I tell you, there's a shaking. Don't get sidetracked by the shaking. Because after the shaking, He's coming. After the shaking, He is coming. And when He comes, we must be ready. We must be ready. Why are we teaching these lessons? Well, I have been so saddened over a period of life to have seen so many shaken. Those that I would have never dreamed would be shaken. But the shaking reveals who we are. It reveals our foundation. Oh, we can put on a good show. But the shaking doesn't care what we look like on the outside. The shaking reveals who we are inwardly. If we are going to remain, if we are going to make it through that shaking, if we're going to make it through everything in order to be ready at the Lord's coming, then we've got to be rooted and grounded in something that cannot be shaken. We must be established. We have to be planted. We have to be rooted and grounded. Our foundation must be solid. If there were a tagline to go with this series title, it would be this: rooted and grounded, unshakable faith in an uncertain world. Unshakable faith in an uncertain world. I tell you, with all the uncertainty around us, with all the craziness, and there's craziness in our world. Our world is crazy. But with all that craziness, with all that shaking going on, I believe that there is a place of peace. I believe that there is a place of peace. There is a calm in the midst of calamity. There is a tranquility in the midst of trouble, where we're rooted and grounded in Christ, and we can learn to dwell in the calm of the storm. We can learn to dwell in that eye of the storm, and all around us nations may be troubled and the economy might be volatile, and the social and moral structure of our nation, it may be crumbling. But when we're rooted and grounded in Christ, we can find a place where we can dwell in quiet rest, where we are near to the heart of God, where there is peace through the storm, because we're like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And our hope is not in this world. Our peace does not come from this life, but our hope is in Jesus. Our faith is in Him. We're grounded in Him. We're rooted in His Word. And no matter what goes on around us, we know we're going to make it through the storm because we're rooted and grounded. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's look tonight at being rooted and grounded in Christ. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, he said, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." He goes on, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." We're to be rooted and grounded in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Our roots need to be in Christ. Our roots have got to be in Christ. That's what our lives must be built upon. We're to be careful so we're not caught up in empty philosophy and human traditions of the world instead of according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. I'm thankful for that. Everything we need is in Jesus Christ. Everything we need is in Jesus Christ. Who else can give us strength? Come on, what else can we have hope in? Where else can we find a firm foundation? How else can we make it except through Jesus Christ? When we've tried everything else and we're still lacking, don't you neglect to try Jesus, because everything we need is in Him. We are complete in Him. Hallelujah. I tell you today, don't go looking around the world. Just look to Jesus today. Just come to Jesus and say, "Lord, I know You are everything. I pray that You would supply the need. I pray that You would direct my life. I pray that You would protect my family." Is anybody here, you can testify that you looked everywhere. You tried it all. You did it all. But Oh, there was a place that you came to in your hunger. You realized it could not be satisfied with the things of this world, that there had to be something more, and God found you, and He reached to your life, and your life was forever changed. Is there anybody that you remember, hey, there was a point that I realized the answer was not in this world, but I found everything I need in Jesus. I found everything I need in His presence. I found everything I desired in His Word. And even though we might not have everything of this world, I tell you, we're now satisfied. We are content in Him. We are fulfilled. There's a peace we can never find in this world. We're blessed to be grounded in Christ. James wrote in James 1 and 17, he said, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." There's no variableness in Him. There's no shadow of turning. There's no variation in Him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. There's no shadow of turning in Him. Another translation says it like this: He does not change like shadows shifting with the movement of the sun. There's not even the slightest hint of change within Him. That can't be said of man. You know, we change like the weather. We change our minds. We change our thinking. Our emotions change. Our direction changes. I think it's safe to say that we change like the shadows change with the movement of the sun. That's just humanity. But we don't build our life on a foundation of humanity. Our foundation should not be built on man. Don't trust in man. Humanity will fail us. People will let us down. People can be inconsistent. People they're unfaithful. They can really drop the ball sometimes. But God, He never changes. Oh, there's no shadow of turning within Him. There's no variation in Him. He is faithful. He is the same. He is a rock for us to build upon. I've often said it, don't you get your eyes on me. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. The pastor is just a human being. But somehow, if we could be a reflection of Jesus Christ, somehow, if we can point others to Him, I tell you, He's the one who is always faithful. He's always consistent. He always makes the right decision. He's the one we look to, not to man. We don't build our foundation on humanity, but we must be rooted and grounded in Christ. Praise the Lord. I want to turn our attention now to a few verses in Ezekiel chapter 31. Reading these scriptures, Ezekiel 31, verses 3 through 7. The prophet wrote, he said, "Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud, and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great, the deep set him on high with her rivers running about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of the waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young. And under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters." There's a great picture here given in describing the cedars of Lebanon. Perhaps there's no other tree mentioned in the Bible is having the greatness of the cedar tree. There's four things here that show the magnificence of this great tree. First of all, we see its size. It was very great in size. There was not another tree that could compare. Its large bulk, it set it apart from other trees. You couldn't help but notice the great size of this cedar tree. Secondly, we see its height. It was of an high stature. It towers over the other trees. And not only was it a large tree with great branches, but it grew high, very high in the forest. Third, if you will note, the cedar is an evergreen tree. It's green with the life even in the dead of winter. It stands out in a forest of trees that lose their leaves in the fall. The cedar is consistent. It's persistent. And finally, the cedar tree is a fragrant tree. You can get close to a cedar and you smell the fragrance. It makes its presence known. It draws attention to those around. How interesting it is, the cedar tree. Yet however large it might be, and however high it might grow, yes, it stands out from the other trees in winter because it keeps its leaves. It may smell wonderful, but the fact is, the life of the cedar tree is totally dependent on the nourishment it receives from the soil. The life of a tree is not in its branches, but in its roots. The life of a tree is not in its branches, but in its roots. Oh, that cedar may take great pride in spreading its branches and growing higher than all the other trees in the forest, but if it forgets its roots, it forgets everything. We must never forget that our source of life, it comes through our root system. And how we grow, how we develop, how we remain, how we stand the test of time, all of that is dependent on our roots. How many times has there been a great tree, and from all outward appearances, it was tall, it was strong, it had grown for many years, it had weathered quite a few storms, it seemed healthy and robust, and it was a solid addition to the forest. Somewhere below ground, something wasn't right. Somewhere down there, out of sight, something went wrong in the root system. And sometimes, somehow, somewhere, that tree caught a little wind. And because of what it was lacking in its roots, it couldn't take the pressure anymore, and it came crashing down to its death. In Job's writing, he talks about the root of the matter. The root of the matter. You know, often what's on the surface, that's not really the root of the matter. There's what we can see on the surface, and then there's the root of the matter. And sometimes it's difficult to discover the root of the matter. A root may go a long ways underground. And it's hidden there in darkness. And that root may be tied up with a lot in the ground that's not seen above the ground. And with humanity, with us, sometimes it's hard to find the root of things. Sometimes it's hard to find it because we don't just usually expose our feelings and talk about all of our thoughts and feelings and all of that. But the life of a man, the life of a woman, the life of a young person, our spiritual life is not in our branches, it's in our roots. It's not everything that people see above the surface, it's what's hidden undercover in our life. Oh, they seem like such a godly person, but what's the root system say? Oh, they've been in church a long time, but where are their roots? Why are we sometimes taken by surprise when someone falls? Because we were looking at the outward appearance. But our life is in our roots. We've got to be rooted and grounded because there will come a day Oh, there will come a day when we're going to face a storm that we don't have the strength to stand through ourselves. And one day we will face something that's greater than what we are. Just wait. If you've not been there yet, you just hang on, because there's going to be a trial. There's going to be a storm. There's going to be a shaking that comes when the pressure is on. And then our existence, our well-being, our life, it will not depend on what we look like on the outside. It's not going to depend on everything that can be seen above the ground, but our life will depend on our root system. Hallelujah. The roots support the tree. They are the foundation. Unless they're deep and unless they're strong, that tree will inevitably fall. It'll be blown over by the wind. It'll be swept away by the flood. Solomon writes in Proverbs 12 that the root of the righteous shall not be moved. He says, the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. We've got to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Roots bring nourishment to the tree. They pull the moisture and the minerals in from the earth. They draw them up from the soil into the plant. And when those roots are cut, the tree withers and the tree dies. Every one of us are dependent on the nourishment that our roots bring into our life. If the roots are drawing in toxins, if our root system is drawing in toxins, it destroys the productivity of the tree. There's many toxic roots. Deuteronomy speaks of a root that beareth gall and wormwood. That just sounds toxic. Isaiah prophesied about a root as rottenness. There's some rotten roots sometimes. 1 Timothy tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. Hebrews speaks of a root of bitterness, a root of bitterness. And here's the thing about toxic roots. You can cut down superficial growth, but that doesn't do any good if it's a deep-seated root. You can cut down what's up above the surface, but if you don't get to the root, it'll sprout again. Job chapter 14, verse 7 through 9 says, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." How many times have you gone to the Lord? Maybe there was a root of bitterness there, and you said, "God, I've got to forgive. I've got to get this root out." And you really worked on it, and you thought you were all good. And then you run into that person unexpectedly and you feel it. It's still something there. I tell you, you got to keep working on it. If there's a toxic root, it will harm the productivity of what God wants to do in our life. Not only should we be rooted and grounded, but we've got to examine our roots. And if we've got some toxic roots that are bringing toxic nourishment into our life, those roots have to be destroyed completely. Or eventually they'll destroy us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Roots take time to develop. I can remember going to Bible college after I had graduated from secular university, and although I had family in the ministry, nobody really knew who I was, and at least it seemed to me, you know. And I can remember there being other students there at Bible College who seemed to know everybody. They seemed to know everybody. And they had famous preacher dads, and they had all the right connections, it seemed. They got invited to places to preach or to become youth pastors of churches. I can remember going one time to a church conference with a few friends and meeting some different ministers that were there. And some of those friends, they would tell, well, who they all were and what their family connections were and all of that. And I guess, you know, I did have some connections, but I just remember being kind of quiet. And they'd get invitations here and there, and it really seemed like their ministry was taking off. There's some times when you see that and you wonder, well, why am I going so slow? It's more like a slow one step forward and a quick two steps back, you know? But I can remember God speaking very clearly to me that I was to trust Him and how thankful I am. Because I want to tell you, I do have several friends, and many of those that seem to start off so quickly. They seem to have it so easy. The doors just seem to open up for them so easily. They seem to grow so fast, but somewhere along the way, the root system never got developed. Some of them went out into false doctrine. Some of them just burned out. I tell you, talent and ability, they will take us places that our root systems won't support if we're not careful. Sometimes we can struggle and we can push doors open on our own. And then we try to act like, well, God opened that door for me, when really God's plan was the opposite direction. If we step out in the flesh, if we're not supported by spiritual roots, I tell you, it's better that we take it slow and let God truly open those doors and direct our life so we can develop roots that will support the growth that God gives us in His timing. Jesus, He loved to call the Pharisees out on their self-righteous and their prideful ways. He was very displeased with their outward show of holiness while their heart was sinful and wicked. And He didn't hesitate to point it out. He called them fools. He said they were blind. He called them serpents and vipers, hypocrites. He said they were whited sepulchers who look beautiful on the outside, but the inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. He said they outwardly appear unto men to be righteous, but inside they are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. In Matthew chapter 15, some of the Pharisees got a little offended, because he said, he was teaching, and he said that even though they were so careful not to put anything against the law into their mouths, he said they were defiled by their own words. Their mouth defiled them because of their sinful heart. And so the disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, Lord, do you know you kind of offended some of them when you said that? And we read in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, but He answered and said, every plant which My heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Sometimes you got to call it like it is. There are some things that are not God's planting. The prideful hypocrisy of the Pharisees was not God's planting. And it happens in churches even today. It's not a strange thing to find plants that the Lord hasn't planted. We know that the enemy is busy sowing tares among the wheat. And for whatever reason, God permits it for a season. But we must not be deceived by plants that aren't truly rooted in Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What does it mean to try the spirits, whether they are of God? Well, we don't just believe everyone that claims to be godly, but we're to test them to see if the spirit that they have, if it comes from God. We're to look beyond the surface of things. We're to look beyond just what we see with our natural vision. And we've got to learn to be led by the Spirit to see more than just what's visible on the outside, but to see spiritually into that root system. When we're faced with a situation, and I tell you, we need God's help to test the spirit of that situation, to see the root of the matter, which isn't always there on the surface. Those who have the spirit of a Pharisee, it's pride, it's hypocrisy, it's judgmental, it's hating, it's ungodly and unchristlike. I tell you, God doesn't take ownership of them. He didn't plant that. He said, by their fruits, you're going to know them. The plants that have those kind of fruit, that's not God's planting. Just give it time. It shall be rooted up. What is not of God shall not stand. If it's not rooted in Christ, it will wither and die. But those, on the other hand, who are rooted in Jesus Christ, they shall remain. Their fruit shall remain. It can't be rooted up if it's truly planted in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I want to be planted in Him. How about you? Lord, help us, God. Lord, help us. Lord, help us see what our root system is really made up of. God, help us to be sure our roots are in You. Help us to be sure, Lord, that we're not rooted in the things that are temporary. But God, help us to be rooted in You. Did you know today that a plant takes its character from the ground it's planted in? A lot can be told about a plant based solely on the soil it's planted in. You can take certain types of flowers and you can put them in water and you can put food coloring in the water. That flower will soak that up into the plant and it will be revealed in the flower's color. Plant takes its character from the ground it's planted in. We must be rooted and grounded in Christ. Isaiah 11 and 1 tells us, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Isaiah 53 and 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." Colossians 2 and 7 again, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." It was Jesus who said in John 15 and verse 4 and 5, He said, "Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me." He said, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing." We got to be connected to the vine. We've got to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Without Him, we can't do anything. Who do we think we are? We're not so spiritual. We're not so special. Amen. It's just the grace of God that we're where we're at. It's just the anointing of God that flows through our life. And if we ever get disconnected from the source, we'll dry up and we'll wither away. We've got to take our character from Him. Oh, what kind of fruit are we showing? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Is that in our character? Or is there hatred, strife, jealousy, and bitterness? We've got to take our character from Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 tells us, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, I want to tell you something tonight. Sometimes the enemy is the instrument responsible for us being planted ever more deeply into the likeness of the death of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's the enemy's tactics that enable us to be planted ever more deeply into the likeness of the death of Jesus Christ. The enemy's attacks against us, his accusations against us, his assault against our family, his aim to destroy us, all of that was meant as evil against us. The Lord's not the author of it. Sometimes the Lord allows it because it's His will that we be planted deeper in Him. And He takes what the enemy meant to destroy us with, and He turns it around so that we sink some roots deeper into the things of God so that we can stand through that trial and we can make it through that test. Don't miss the opportunity to be rooted and grounded more firmly in Jesus Christ. So many times we wonder, God, where'd that come from? You could have stopped that, Lord. You could have protected me from that. You could have prevented that. Why did you let that trial happen in my life? Why that struggle? Why that pressure that we're going through? Lord, what could have possibly been the purpose of that? Don't you care for us? Don't you know where we're at and what we're going through? Don't you see us, God? We're struggling here. Maybe it's just me, but I think we all go through times like that. God forbid that we give in to what the devil meant for our destruction, because God may have meant to turn it around for our good. I tell you, we're in the Lord's hands. We're in the Lord's hands. We're not in the devil's hands. We're in the Lord's hands. And if we've been planted with Him in the likeness of His death, then we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Don't let that battle you're facing cause you to pull up your roots out of Jesus Christ. But let that thing you're going through, let it drive you even deeper in Him to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Oh, come on. Here's another trial, but I'm not pulling up my roots. I'm going to sink them deeper in Him. I'm going to trust in Him. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I'm going to sink those roots even deeper in Christ. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me here tonight in closing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we trust in you. God, we put our faith in you today. Help us, Lord, to be rooted and grounded in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where we were from in Texas, a lot of that land was marshland. You have the ocean and then you have the beach, and beyond the beach is marshland. And sometimes in high tide it'll get flooded, and hurricanes come along and it floods, and it's not real good soil, because it's there's a mixture of salt water and fresh water, and it's just, there's a lot of snakes and alligators and all that kind of stuff. And there's not a lot that grows there. Soil just won't permit it. Studies have shown that in waterlogged lowlands, roots stay quite shallow because they don't have to go far to get to the water. But in well-drained areas, roots have to go, they have to grow far to reach down to the water table. It's also been noted that during times of drought and in times of even high growth for a plant, their roots can grow at amazing rates. amazing rates. They can probe hundreds of feet deep, searching for water and for nutrients, breaking even through cracks in rocks at times in order to reach their goal. I understand sometimes we're going through things. Sometimes we're facing things that it's a struggle. And there may be a drought spiritually in our life, and or maybe there's a battle, a trial, a testing that comes to our lives. And sometimes our first reaction can be to turn tail and run. Well, I don't need this. I didn't ask for this, God. I'm going to find some place where it's easier. Get me out of this struggle. Get me out of this battle. That's our first reaction is, I'm getting out of this as fast as I can. But true spiritual maturity comes when we stand still. When we stand firm in Jesus Christ. And in that battle, in that spiritual drought, in that time of testing, we sink our roots ever deeper in Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've been so challenged in my spirit. Too many have believed the lies of the enemy. Too many have thought, well, I can't handle the pressure. I can't handle the struggle. I can't handle this battle anymore. And I believe it was because something in the root system had gone astray, and there was something that wasn't right. And instead of being rooted and grounded in Christ, looking at our own strength and our own ability, I tell you, we can't make it by ourselves. But if we sink our roots in Jesus Christ, we can stand through this storm. We can make it through that trial that comes. We can make it through that testing. Hallelujah. We're meant to be soldiers, folks. We're called to be a good soldier. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. Come on, all throughout the Word of God, it says that there's a battle, there's a testing, there's a trial. But with God, we're going to come through in victory. Praise the Lord. Can we ask God to help us? Lord, help us sink down our roots into You, Lord. Help us to be rooted and grounded in Christ. I pray, Lord, that You would minister right now, God. Remind us of our calling. Remind us of the calling that You placed upon us to be a good soldier, to fight the good fight of faith, to stand the test of time, Lord. I pray, God, that You would help us to sink our roots into You. Help us to sink our roots in Your Word. Help us to sink our roots into faith. God, to be steadfast in Jesus' name, to be like that tree planted by the river of water, oh God, in Jesus' name. We want Your blessing to be upon our life. We want to bear fruit, oh God. Lord, we want to show forth Your glory and Your honor and Your praise. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to be rooted and grounded. Help us, God, to be rooted and grounded in You in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you reach over and take somebody by the hand or put your arm around somebody if it's appropriate and say, Lord, bind us together. Bind us together, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be rooted and grounded together in You. Jesus, take us through the storm. Help us to be strong through the struggle, through the drought, through the battle that we're facing. I pray, God, that You would help us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we thank You for it. Lord, we thank You for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I pray that You'd give us strength to make it through the trial, Lord. Help us to have strength to make it through the storm, Lord. Oh, God, use this for our benefit. Use this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank You for it, Jesus. Bless my brother. Bless my sister, God. Work in us, Lord. Help us to be rooted and grounded in You. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is good. Come on, remember, you're not in the hand of the devil. You're in the hand of God. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Let's be rooted and grounded in Him, and let's see what God is going to build Amen. He's working. He's working. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's not at the pace that we would desire it. But sometimes you just got to let those roots have a little time. Amen. Praise the Lord. We love you. God bless you tonight. Be careful. I don't know what the weather's going to do, but be careful. And we'll see you this weekend. God bless you.